podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, hello, here we go, it's the Cobbite Podcast.
What is happening, everybody? And that is a line I'm stealing from Mick. And Mick isn't leading today because he was ill, God bless him. But good to see he's fit and fighting and ready to go. Plus, he's coming the game tomorrow, so that's even fucking better. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Cobbite Podcast. And just as a little intro, this episode of the pod is sponsored by CaliDesigns.co.uk. As you're probably all aware, Cali is a very, very popular artist in the Liverpool world, or the Liverpool universe, whichever way you want to look at it. He's a local artist and a Red who creates illustrations of the most iconic moments from sports. Mick, he's done Gerrard's trophy lift, hasn't he, in Istanbul. He's done Bobby's Kung Fu kick celebration. There's such a massive range and there's brilliant products available at Cali. designs.co.uk, and it's a great gift for any Red to purchase either for themselves or as a gift for somebody. Me and Mick have got a few of his prints. As you can see from Mick's background, there is one there hiding. He's just out of shot. He needs to rearrange that, to be fair. And obviously he's started doing t-shirts as well, and some of the t-shirts are fucking brilliant. But one of the great things that Cali's partnered with us, he has offered us a code as well. So that code is COPIPOD10 at the checkout, and it'll get you 10% off your entire order. So that's running along at the bottom of the screen. So again, really, really made up that we've partnered with Cali for that, and please check out his stuff because it's absolutely amazing. So Mick, Liverpool versus Chelsea is arguably the biggest game of the weekend. There's no argument about it, always is. Whenever Liverpool play, it's always the biggest game of the weekend. But it's more and more interesting because we're pretty much identical with Chelsea after the first couple of games of the season in terms of goals scored, played, points conceded, nothing. You know, it's poised very well, isn't it? And what are your thoughts on the game tomorrow? Are you excited?
Yeah, I can't wait. Honestly, I can't wait. Like you said, there's quite a few little battles that have been, I mean, I don't know how much they've just been drummed out by the media, like Lukaku versus Van Dijk. Like, he hasn't played against Lukaku before in his life. He has, and he's always seems to have got the measure of them, so that's not a new thing, is it? Let's be honest. But yeah, there's a lot of little battles all over the pitch. That, I mean, battle of the right backs, that it's just, that'll never go away. James and Trent, that like, yeah, that's just going to be a thing forever. Same with Wan-Bissaka. It's literally like the Gerrard Lampard skills debate that I'll just rage on for however long they play for. And yeah, looking forward to it. Like, especially if Hendo has obviously played the last game, he probably will play again. Question marks over Thiago, and obviously Fab's back. So yeah, there's a lot of, and Rabo as well. So there's a lot of positives even after last game going into this one.
Yeah, I think one of the most positive things that I'm looking at is that it's the opportunity for Liverpool's best 11 to actually play together for the first time. Now, whether people look at that best 11 that includes Jota or Bobby, that's up for debate. But again, it's a really, really nice option to have. But we'll start with that ill-fated Lukaku and Van Dijk battle. We'll only do a couple of minutes on it, mate, because I'm bored of talking about it already, because I just don't think there's a worry. You know, I mean, granted, Lukaku's done very, very well. Since you know he left Manchester United, and obviously done really well at Inter, and yet he was back with a bang against Arsenal. But you know, fucking hell, mate, when you were ill the last couple of days, you could play against Arsenal and probably bang a goal in as well. You know what I mean? So, and that's not a slight on you, mate. That's just you saying you're a good footballer when you're ill. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. So it will be interesting. But what I'm most looking forward to about it is the fact that there has been talk of Van Dijk not being up to speed, which I just think is a lot of fucking bollocks, because you know, we were at the Burnley game last week, and your eyes are just drawn to Van Dijk because it's the first time he's been back playing at Anfield since his injury, and you're looking at him going, he knows how to play this game. He was so good against Burnley. I don't even think there's going to be a battle. Do you know what I mean? I think, well, to be fair, Chris has just said in the comments exactly what I was just about to say. He said, will there even be a battle? He might decide to pull on Matip. He said, I think that's exactly what he's going to do. But he'll have a tough test against Matip because he was absolutely phenomenal in the first two games as well. So, Mick, I'm not worried about Lukaku at all.
I'm not. I think it's the type of player that it's the perfect battle for those two. Like, Matip and Van Dijk, they're both massive. They're both quick. I mean, it reminds me of seeing how, like you said, with Van Dijk, where he's up to, which is it is hilarious because he has played two games, and obviously he's not going to be 100% there in terms of maybe going into tackles or whatever else. But him and Matip will be like loving it. They'll be chomping at the bit trying to get back, get onto the pitch tomorrow to get up against Lukaku to show to the rest of the country that they are the two best centre backs in the league when they're on form. So yeah, if we go Anfield tomorrow, absolutely batter them, keep Lukaku quiet. Does it then put us back into the question in everyone else's mind? Because I know everyone's kind of writing us off, aren't they, for the title? Good. Let's be honest, we're not even in the question, which we're happy with. Absolutely. So I mean, even if we win 1-0, 2-0 tomorrow, then maybe people will go, actually, yeah, this Liverpool side are what they were. And I mean, everyone's got a little bit older, but they've all got a little bit wiser as well. So I mean, there's a lot of good players in there still. Obviously, Robbo coming back in as well. That's, even though Tsimikas has been a fucking beast.
Yeah, Robbo coming back in. Might as well touch on that now. What's your thoughts on that? Do you think, because Tsimikas was obviously fantastic against Burnley. Obviously, he was good against Norwich. I obviously had a couple of mishaps and stuff like that, where he got a slap off James Milner. But, you know, I thought he was fantastic against Burnley. And if Tsimikas started tomorrow, I wouldn't be disappointed. I'd just be like, sound, because I think he's done well. Be a nice test for him. But obviously, in this bigger game, you want Andy Robertson playing, obviously. But again, what are your thoughts on that?
I think he like Klopp said, like it's not a problem, because I think he kept getting asked questions by Jern. I was going, oh, what about this problem you've got left back? And he's like, it's not a problem. It's only a problem if you've got no left back. It's a good problem, if you want to phrase it that way, that he's got someone who's played really well in pre-seasons, come in to the Premier League, and obviously didn't. I think he played like 8 minutes, or I don't even know how much he played last year, but it wasn't much, was it? Because he had injuries and COVID and whatever else. So this is his first proper year in the team, really. And his first two games, he looked really well. That little bit against Burnley in the 90th minute where he was on the floor and whatever, stand ovation from the crowd, then he goes off and gets another stand ovation. That's what he deserved, because that's how good he's been. And Burnley targeted them a little bit, and it was nice to see that he didn't back down, and he was still in there and still fighting. So I think for this one, though, Robbo, I think it's a bit of a no-brainer. Robbo's got to come back in, because we need that. He's the best in the world for a reason. And I think Klopp even said that when Robbo's fit and available, it's impossible for anyone else to play in that position, because Robbo is just that good, and he knows how to play next to Van Dijk, and it kind of just puts everyone back into little pieces of jigsaw from when we were so good. And the quicker we do that in the season, the better, really.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And I'm definitely in the Andy Robertson camp for him playing against Chelsea tomorrow, hence the left back from the future t-shirt that Paul Collins has made. And to be fair, I gave him the idea and he came up with it within like 2-3 weeks, and I put fair play to him. So this is, I'm taking this as a personal t-shirt to me, but you can get it from properties.com anyway. So get yourself one of these t-shirts, and he does some cracking designs with Paul. So obviously let's just dive into the comments for a little minute. Paul's with us again. Evening, lads. Good evening, mate. Hope that housing renovation is going well, my friend. Keep up the pictures, because it's looking great. Yuki's joining us as well. Good morning from California. Hopefully one day we'll be over there, mate. I really do. And Chris has said, interesting to see who they pick at left back. Alonso is the weaker defensively, but Chilwell hasn't played all season. All right, Chris, over to you games, mate. Bloody hell. That's the first jib I'm giving you, because he's already given me a bit of a jib today. Again, you do make a good point, Chris. But I think either one, we can cope with there. And then Chris has said, as good as Tsimikas is, I think Robertson's experience is needed, and Robbo is still a better player. Only question mark is Tsimikas, he tires bad in the last 15. Yeah, I think that's just obviously, like Chris said before, it's just like game time and stuff like that. So it's, definitely an Andy Robertson game, 100%. And Chris said, I'm at the game tomorrow with my daughter. Right, good, mate. I'm not going now, Mick. If he's going, I don't want to risk bumping into Chris. All right, so just... If anybody wants my ticket for tomorrow, you can have it, because I'm not going if Chris is going.
Free of charge.
Free of charge, yeah. But Chris, no, mate, obviously, Sam, hope you enjoy the game with your daughter, mate. If we bump into you, happy bloody days. So, I mean, Mick, when you look at it now, the way the season's sort of shaping up now, this Liverpool versus Chelsea, and we look at sort of the way we've played. So everyone has been sort of retweeting the Salah goal. And I know you've done that a couple of times as well, saying that you'd really want to see the Salah goal. So since that game, let's have a look. How many times have we played Chelsea since that Salah game? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Played them 6 times, and we've only lost twice. And one of them was in the FA Cup. And then the other time was obviously in March earlier this year for 1-0. So pretty decent record we've got against Chelsea over recent years, mate. So But obviously, they are the reigning European champions. That is, we can't deny that. You know, fully deserve winning the European Cup. I can't even say that without feeling sick. But there's another English name on that trophy, mate. I can't hack it. But you know, we can't take them lightly at the end of the day. But I tell you what, mate, if we get a result against them tomorrow, if we get 3 points against them tomorrow, so again, it's a massive statement to what you said earlier, wasn't it, about going under the radar for this league title?
Yeah, and like you said, if that plays into our hands, I mean, I keep referencing the thing BBC put up at the start of the season where all 20 pundits or journos or whatever, and 20 of them predicted the top four, and only two of them put Liverpool in second, and I don't think the rest of them was either third, fourth, or fifth. So I was like, yeah, go ahead. Literally crack on, honestly, because it's only that way because we've only signed Konaté. If we would have signed a few more, then they were like, ooh, Liverpool might be good here. Oh, they've lost one album, whatever. And it's the same questions that Klopp keeps getting in his press conference, and you can see that he's pissed off because he's obviously on the lookout for players, and he's obviously not finding the ones that he wants. Either that, yeah, or we haven't got the money. I don't know what it is. I guess you'll never know. But yeah, right. Like, I'm happy to be underdogs. We've always kind of thrived on in the underdog role. And yeah, it's no, like, I mean, I imagine we're gonna talk about the latest transfer to Man United in a bit. But it's stuff like that where all these teams that are signing players, if we then go and win one of the Champions League or the Premier League this year, how sweet will that taste knowing that we got wrote off, questioned, Klopp got questioned for not signing anyone, a midfielder, forward, whatever else. Obviously, there's 4 days left, so we might still do that. But if we don't, and we still go and come first or second and win the Champions League, then fucking hell, then when is he going to get the credit that he deserves? And when are the people going to stop questioning him for not making moves for players that we might not need? Obviously, we've seen that in January. We signed Kabach and Davis, and I know that was probably a bit different because they were emergency signings, but you don't want to just go and sign a player for the sake of signing the player. We all know Klopp likes to have a lot of scouting into players, and I imagine he's got a massive list of players, but maybe it's just not the right time, and next summer may be that time, hopefully.
No, yeah, it's a really good point that you raised there, mate. And I think, like you said, I think I'll probably worry about that point in a couple months' time when it starts shaping up, because if we will start seeing the shape of the season over the next couple months, obviously. And I'll just like, it'd be just be good to see where we're sat, and we can sort of analyse that point a little bit in more detail. But yeah, like you said, it would be brilliant if one of those big prizes come in, without a doubt. But sticking to the game at the minute, mate, I was looking at the shots that we've had so far, and we're the highest in the Premier League with 46. And Chelsea have faced the fewest shots in their two games as well, with 10. So that just tells you everything about how this game might go. I've said that now, it could be a fucking boring 0-0 draw. touch what it's not. But again, really positive that from Liverpool, isn't it? The fact, given the firepower that some of these teams have in the Premier League, it's really, really encouraging, and it's going to be an exciting game tomorrow.
Yeah, and especially at Anfield, like, we probably keep saying it, and maybe it's becoming a bit cliche now, but that's fans back in the stadium. That is, you can't even understand how big that is for us. And I think we've seen it a little bit last week against Burnley. Obviously, it wasn't the best atmosphere. It was good, but I think half 12's notoriously, people are probably still half asleep or whatever. I know people had to get to the ground about 4 hours early, like everyone did, but half 12's just don't have the same feeling as a half five on a Saturday. And I'm just hoping that coupled in with coming up against Chelsea, who are European champions, and yeah, I want to go sick as well myself saying that. But the signings that they've made, we've got a point to prove, and I think that's why Klopp will be telling the lads that we need to set down a marker here. Third game into the season, being wrote off, just crack on and show what we're made of. Because I mean, they're going to play probably a back three, don't they, and then wing back. So you can understand why they've probably conceded the least amount of shots, because they've got quite a good defensive rear guard. But with our attacking lineup, I mean, I imagine Hot is going to start again, and then you've got Salah, who's just top quality, and Mane, who looks like he's really, really sharp again. So they're going to be shitting themselves. And at Anfield, that, I mean, some of those players won't have their players won't have experienced it. So I mean, I can't wait for it.
Yeah, no, it's true, mate. And I think the Anfield crowd is really important. I mean, it does give you that lift. I mean, it was so obvious last season, given the way there was more away wins than usual because there was no crowds there. So obviously, they do have an effect. And you know, there's been another few debates this week about the Anfield crowd and stuff like that. Well, you know, suck a dick, because it is fucking amazing, and it is amazing every single week. But this is a legitimate lay down the marker title contending thing. And it was the same when we beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge early in the season, when we did win the league. And that sort of set the marker again, where it's like we've won away at the Bridge, which again doesn't usually happen with Liverpool, because, you know, we have tended to struggle at the Bridge. And when that happened, it gave us like, yeah, Liverpool are really on song this season, and that's amazing. But obviously, given where the two teams are at the minute and how strong both squads are, you could play this game 10 times in a neutral venue, and you probably might see 5 games apiece, wouldn't you, really? 5 wins apiece, sorry. But it is definitely going to be interesting. But the bookies do have us as slight favourites. And one of the things I think is really important about that is the fact we're at Anfield, and Fabinho's going to be back as well, mate, which I think is absolutely vital for this game as well, considering the Fabinho Kante debate.
Yeah, I think we missed them. Obviously, the sad news of his dad dying, we weren't expecting him to be anywhere near the squad. That would have been an absolute shock and a surprise if he did. But yeah, he's the best defensive midfielder in the world. So, fucking hell, went like, case in point, last year when we actually started to put him back into CDM, even after he was so good at centre-back, when he went back into defensive mid, you started to see just how good he is, just cutting off those passes. Like, it's quite simple the way he makes it look, but it's so difficult to actually do when you think about it, because he covers so much ground, those long legs, cuts off the passing lanes, and he just kind of disrupts everything that a team wants to do. And I think, especially if they play Havertz, then Fabinho will obviously, that'll be key, because if that'll be a nice little battle in there, because he'll probably try and drop in, and Fabinho will just probably absolutely smash him on, which we want to do nice and early. And then I think it's the same for them, that like Jorginho, because he'll want to dictate the game, and they'll look to try and, I think they've had like the most passes in the league so far and whatever, so they're going to want to try and come to Anfield and play a way that not many teams do. Not many teams come to Anfield and think, we'll try and beat them in possession wise and try and pass them to death. There's only a handful of teams in world football that will even attempt to do that. So yeah, it's going to be a big battle, but having Fab back's huge, absolutely huge. Obviously Hendo did really well against Burnley, but you put Hendo back onto the right hand side, I think it just, like I said, with the Robbo and Van Dijk thing, it just puts people back into the little jigsaws that they're so used to. It's just going back to what resetting yourself to default position.
Yeah.
Because, you know, goes back and you've got Hendo on the right. Trent then goes, well, yeah, I know where I'm going now because Hendo's going to cover for me. It just kind of becomes second nature. And when Liverpool are in that kind of funk and everything, you don't have to think about it. That's when Liverpool are at the best, I think.
True. Well, while we're talking about players who are going to be dropping out or coming back into the squad, let's have a look at them. So let's just quickly go through it. Both picking Alisson in goal, obviously. Your back four, well, I think we've probably covered that, of Trent, Matip, Van Dijk and Robbo. But it gets interesting with the front six, really, because obviously Keita, Henderson and Elliot started against Burnley. So are you dropping out of that because, you know, Elliot did quite well against Burnley, mate. So would you, again, be a massive statement for him to start again against Chelsea? He did himself no harm against Burnley. Quite right, he should get another start. Keita did okay against Burnley as well. So what would you do there, mate? Would you drop Keita or Elliot for being on? What would you be doing?
I would be very surprised if Harvey Elliott started again. I mean, obviously he did do really well, and obviously the second goal done so well. Great little touch and assist to the assist for Mane, and done really well in the game overall, really, as his first Premier League start, and as an 18-year-old, done terrifically well. But I think I put Fab in, I put Hendo on the right, and then the only sad that I'm unsure about is if he's going to go Keita again, because Keita's done reasonably well, considering that he's kind of just limited himself to, what's the Gini Wijnaldum role, isn't it? That left-hand side, you've got to be quite reserved. And I think Keita's done that really well. It's either Keita or Thiago, isn't it, for that left-hand side. So I think he probably will go Keita, to be honest, just because he's a bit more all-action and he'll get stuck in, and then maybe we'll see Thiago after 60. I think those three for now, because obviously Thiago came on off the bench, and then maybe come on 60, and then he'll be ready for Leeds after the international break, but then he could go Thiago. I've no idea, but it's a good problem to have, isn't it?
Absolutely. Thiago did very well against Chelsea, didn't he, last season? And we saw sort of like the ultimate best of Thiago as well, which was good. So again, I'm not too fussed about the midfield, and I mean that in a way of like I'll be happy either way with what he does with those options that you've discussed. Yeah. And that's nothing on James Milner either, because if he wants to play James Milner in there as well, I don't think that would be the right choice given we're playing at home against this Chelsea side. I think it's definitely a case of one of those that you've just described there, mate. So again, there'd be no surprise. But again, I wouldn't be surprised if Harvey Elliott starts again, mate, based on the fact that I was surprised to see him play against Burnley. And given the way Burnley play football, I didn't think Harvey Elliott would see that much of the ball, given the way Burnley play that way. In terms of like obviously defending some, they do a lot of long balls and stuff like that. And I just thought it might just be a type of game. But, we did control the game from pretty much the start anyway. But what I loved about the fact that he just grabbed it with both hands. And I just think, the kid's ready and it's evident that he's ready. So, throw him in again. Do a Rooney, play him against Arsenal. Do a Michael Owen and start him from the season and see what happens. It does work. And maybe this new generation's Michael Owen, Wayne Rooney, Robbie Fowler, do you know what I mean? So I'm not plugging Robbie Fowler just yet, mate, even though I just dropped him. But what I'm saying is, mate, I think Fabinho definitely comes back in, and I'd probably see Hendo, Fabinho, and I'd probably go with Thiago, to be honest, just because I think he's probably ready to start a game. From the likes of Chelsea, mate, obviously, in the last game, obviously, Mendy was starting, they had Azpilicueta, Christensen and Rooney at the back, with obviously James and Alonso supporting wide. Obviously, Chris Brack said in the comments earlier that probably the debate between Alonso and Chilwell to start this game. Kovacic, Jorginho in the middle with Mount and Havertz supporting Lukaku. I can't see them changing their lineup at all. I think they'll stick with that. I just think the experience of Alonso playing in these types of games against Liverpool, I think that'll keep them that way. I don't see Chelsea making any changes, do you?
I mean, the only one maybe is they might bring Kante in, because I know Kante came off the bench, didn't he? I don't know if
excuse me. That's we were talking about Kante before. I think it's a possible. I think he comes in for Kovacic. I think
only because it's. I think if it was at Stamford Bridge, I think they might just stick. But I think because it's at Anfield, I think Kante. I mean, we all know how good he is. He's unbelievable. Just like how he interceptions and whatever else. So I'd be surprised if they didn't start him. But even still, like, I think Jorginho, I mean, didn't he get like the fucking UEFA's men's player of the year yesterday, which is just, I still think that's fucking crazy. He's a great player, but
great player.
But yeah, just fucking, yeah. It's mental.
It is mental. But what about the front three, mate, for Liverpool? What are you going there? Because obviously Jota's done really, really well. Fantastic start to the season. Was it 2-2? Let's make the decision. Does Jota start or does Bobby start?
I think Jota starts. I think, I saw Chris put a comment in earlier about Firmino could be a shout, so we can sit on Jorginho and we don't have the ball. I mean, it's good that we've got different ways of playing, because you could do that. You could go 4-2-3-1 and I'd just have a double pivot with Fab and Hendo, and then have Bobby just ahead of them, and then the front three, and then. But then you could do what we expect we're probably going to do, and just go Fab, Hendo on the right, Keita on the left, or Thiago, yeah. And then just go Jota, Salah and Mane. I think Jota, I think Jota would feel a bit aggrieved if he doesn't start this one after, like I said, scoring two goals. He's that first goal against Burnley, especially that little bit of game intelligence to run in front of the marker, and he can be the difference. I think he's still a bit underrated in a way. I mean, I put a stat up like the other day on the last pod about goals to minutes ratio, and he's like the second best in our history so far. I mean, obviously he's not played as many games as some other players, but if he keeps that up, he's just a goal machine. So I think it's a bit mad to leave him out, because in a game like this where it could be quite tight, and maybe if we cancel each other out and chances are few and far between, then we need a Diogo Jota on there to bag a chance when we need him to.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, mate, I would love to see him start the game. And again, that's nothing on Bobby at all. It really isn't. I think Bobby Firmino's been absolutely brilliant. And if he starts the game, I won't be bothered. But I just think when your striker's scoring goals, you don't take him out of the team. That's the way I look at it. That's me being very, very old school. Don't take out the person who's scoring goals for the sake of that's my normal 11, that's my normal front three in the big games. Don't care. The people have been saying for years about the front three being split up and it's time to move on and all that sort of stuff. I still don't believe it is, because all three of them are still very, very good footballers. But again, Jota is just keeps knocking on that door, saying, listen, I'm scoring, so keep me in there. Confidence is high. When a striker's confident, you don't take him out of the team. It's the stupidest thing you could ever do. And Klopp's a very smart man. I don't think he'll take Jota out. So, yeah, I'm all for keeping Jota in that side at the minute, because that's what you do. And again, we looked at it, didn't we, the last two games when Bobby's come on. But obviously, Bobby came on against Norwich and bagged himself a goal. And he came on against Burnley with Thiago. And again, we're looking at that squad depth and those options off the bench. That's brilliant. That really is. And, you know, we might as well come on to it now. We're 25 minutes in. Let's just touch on the window. It closes in 4 days. We'll probably get another show out before the window finishes. Chris said it earlier. While we have quality in the squad, we do feel too light. One durable midfielder and an attacker. They don't have to be Mbappe. They just need a bit more options in the squad. I do agree with Chris on that one. My only thing with it is obviously who you're going to buy is going to be good enough, but then okay to sit on the bench, do you know what I mean, and play in this rotation. We're never buying anybody for a starting 11 because we've got a really, really good starting 11 anyway, mate. But there's obviously been the Bissouma in the last 24 hours where that's looking more of a concrete offer that's gone into Brighton. So I don't know, thoughts on the window, mate, and what do you think Liverpool can do if they do anything?
I honestly don't think we're going to do anything. Just going off what Klopp said today in the presser, like he said, that if there's a player available, that he'll definitely go for them. And he said, I promise, at the end. And it was like he was like a, I don't know, like a bit of a rallying cry that it is his decision not to be buying players. And obviously then he's also mentioned in other press conferences that fucking Man City and PSG and whoever else are playing a different game, like in terms of finances. And I mean, it's not his fault or whatever. It's just the way it is, that we've got owners in charge who aren't just going to go blow fucking 100 million on a player. That's just the way it is. And I mean, if we do sell players, then we might do that maybe next summer. But who knows? I don't know. Like, Bissouma would be perfect. He would be perfect. You've seen him for Brighton. He is a good all-rounder. I think he's not 25 till like next week. So still really, really young. And I think prem proven as well. So it's not going to be like an acclimatisation there. It's going to be come straight in and be a good solid player in the midfield, and him and Fab can kind of maybe rotate a little bit, but he can also play on the left or right of a midfield as well. So I'd be surprised if that wasn't one that we maybe got done. Maybe not this window, but in the summer, I'm sure we'll probably then go, right, let's throw all our eggs in one basket and get the players that we need in, because I don't know if we can keep going without signing more. Obviously, we did sign Konate, who we haven't seen yet, but looks like a beast. He really does improve our back line. I mean, the options we've got the back line is ridiculous at the moment. But a lot of players in there, like we said, Harvey Elliott. I think Klopp said, like, if Genie Wijnaldum was still around, Harvey Elliott wouldn't have played against Burnley. So it's just stuff like that where you go, well, swings and roundabouts. Like, we gave him a chance. He's came in. He's done really well. He's proved himself that you can throw him in to any game, and he won't be deterred by the occasion, and he'll show his quality. So him, I think Curtis Jones, underrated as well. I think he's going to be another one that had a good season last year with no fans in, which is even more difficult for a youngster, especially, I think. And he's probably played more than he's expected, but he's another one that. It's just that we keep saying this, and it's like, and I understand it's not as sexy as signing getting a Bissouma in and then like a fucking another attacker in, but there's options in the squad that Klopp obviously feels that it's good enough. Otherwise, he'd give fucking John Henry a ring, wouldn't he? And go, well, I need, if you want me to be competing at the top two or three, obviously first as well this year, then you need to put your hand in your pocket. But I feel like first two games we've done really well, and I think if we go and beat Chelsea tomorrow, I feel like those doubts maybe will be allayed a little bit, because we can show that we are good enough to do it, and we know we are. We just need to go and go and prove it.
Yeah. So what are you saying? One more or none?
I don't think we'll get any this window, to be honest. I'll be surprised. Like we said with Konate, we got it nice and early, didn't we? We got Konate in dead early, had a load of time to sort himself out and get used to how we play and whatever else. But yeah, unless it's like last day and it's like there's players about that you can get for cheaper or something. I've no idea, but and I don't even know who it could be. But yeah, deadline day will be interesting. And obviously, if there's some stuff on deadline day, we'll do another little show as well and have a little chat about it.
Yeah, that's true. Fucking great. I'm only joking. hi Dave, by the way, mate. Thanks for jumping on. Chris has said at least one more coming in, and then obviously he's had made a joke saying two more on deadline day. I love it when we sign new players. You know, when the squad grows and there's quality added, then great. But I don't like the idea of signing someone just for the sake of pleasing a few thousand people on Twitter. I really don't see the point in it. But I know there's lots of people that will probably, you know, just be like so pissed off with window closing. But it goes back to the point that you made at the top of the show, mate, is if we end up doing really, really well this season with the squad we've got, then people will be frantically deleting those tweets, because it's just proof that they've not got a fucking clue about football. Scott Ferguson, how you doing, pal? Journey's in from YouTube. Someone at the club needs to take the hard line and get Origi out no matter how. Yeah, no, it's true. I think Origi's time is definitely up. At Liverpool, but again, mate, there's no one taking him, just the same way no one was taking Shaqiri until like a really low bid came in from Lyon, and just like, oh, fuck it, let's do it. And somehow there was like a £5 million bid, and then he went for 9 anyway, and unfortunately we made a loss on him. So it's crazy, but yeah, at least we got Shaqiri out there, and you know, again, fucking good luck to Shaqiri out there, mate. You know, fair play to him, thanks for everything that he did for the club. But I do think that Origi does need to go, because yeah, Mick, he's just not an option when he comes on, is he? We just, apart from the derby last season, I didn't really see anything from him.
No, I think James Pearce put something up yesterday or today saying like he's obviously been offered to clubs and they're just not interested. And I think his wages as well puts people off. But yeah, it's time for a clean break, I think, for Divock Origi, unless he just literally wants to sit on his ass again all season and just come in and then have a few good games, then I just find it a bit bizarre, really. Because I mean, even last year when he was coming off the bench, you're like, oh God, why is he bringing Origi on? But he didn't have any other option. Obviously, Minamino's now back, and I think Klopp said the other day that Minamino's in the best shape he's ever been, which I was like, yeah, wow. So he must be doing good in training. I think he said something like it's difficult to leave him out of the team. Which is a good sign, I suppose, that he's came back and he wants to prove himself. And I would definitely prefer a Minamino coming off the bench than a Divock Origi. I mean, for how much he's done for the club and whatever, it's definitely time to go. Definitely.
Yeah, no, it is. It really is, mate. And I think it's just, you know, you just say thank you very much, you know, for everything that you've done and see you later. But again, it's just a case if anybody's going to come in for him. But it really doesn't seem like anybody's coming in, and unfortunately if you're not coming in for him, we can't get rid of him, unfortunately. But again, Scott just said send him out on loan, but again, it's like, does anybody want him even on a loan deal? You know, it's one of them, because he's just not proving it. His stock was highest after the Champions League final. That was the time to get rid. But then Klopp was like, well, he's done so much for us, it's a bit fucking harsh just to get rid of him. And then he obviously went on to win help us win the league. So I don't know, it's one of them. But I just think, like you said before, with Karius not getting registered, Shaqiri going, that does leave the two spots open for us to bring in someone, at least one, before the deadline. I'd like to see one come in. I really would like to see that extra body coming in, and we'll see what happens there. But, mate, obviously, we've done half an hour there. We'll let everyone get back to their Friday evening. Just one quick plug from me. Mick, I don't know if you've got a plug handy there, just to show off the plug. That's fine. Tim usually does it. But obviously, I am going to start plugging the Robbie Fowler documentary that I've just completed and released a couple of weeks ago. It is episode 2 of The Copyright Origins, and it is on God, Robbie Fowler himself. And thankfully, Robbie Fowler has actually seen it as well. So Robbie Fowler actually saw it, messaged and said he really, really liked it. And yeah, there's conversations flowing there for something else in the future. So if you've not watched it yet, please head over to The Copyright Origins section on the YouTube channel and have a look at it, and please let me know what you think as well, because I am, you know, I want to make these episodes as best I can. Make sure you like and let me know in the comments of what you think as well. And obviously there's episode 1 there of Patrick Berger as well, so please have a look at the Patrick Berger one as well. And Patrick Berger got in touch to say how much he enjoyed it as well, which was fantastic. So yeah, 12-year-old me is quite buzzing right now. And then obviously coming soon, we've got the story of Ekeru coming, which quite, you know, it might sound quite boring in terms of the story of a kit, but we've got quite a few people contributing there to that, and it is actually quite an interesting story of how the kit came about. So yeah, looking forward to sharing that one with you, with a couple of nice little Easter eggs thrown in there as well. So yeah, appreciate everyone joining from YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. Scott Ferguson, great job, guys. Thank you very much, Scott, for joining us. Come back for the review. We'll be at the match tomorrow. So Mick, if anybody sees us, say hello. Oh, Scott's watching from America. Fucking right, son. Whereabouts in America you're watching, Scott? Let us know, because UK is watching from California, and I want to know exactly where you're watching from, Scott. So that would be amazing. Amid Aredi's back as well. The race mate, great job. Nice one. Thank you very much, buddy. Don't forget, when the episode gets to 1,000 views, I'll let you know who episode 3 is. I have decided who episode 3 is. I've gone off feedback from what everyone gave me. So I haven't chosen it this time. It's for the feedback that people have wanted. So I'm giving the people what they want. Oh, he's in Georgia. What a wonderful state that is, mate. Whereabouts in Georgia, mate? You're from Atlanta? Probably not. But just let us know in the comments, mate. And definitely join us again, Scott. Really, really appreciate it. So yeah, honestly, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be at the match tomorrow. And then we'll probably do the preview over the weekend at some point, because yeah, we'll be in the pub Saturday after the game anyway, in Mate Duncan. So if you are, that's where we'll be. We'll be amazing. Yeah, come and buy me a pint. Yeah, come and say hello. fucking YouTubers. Yeah.
I'll have me ready made signed cards, you know, if you want to. Like fucking what's his name, Warnock, has them in his back pocket.
Oh, fucking hell. As you can tell, guys, we are taking the piss right there. So fucking hell, Jesus Christ. Yeah, but yeah. Listen, love everybody in the comments for joining us. If you've not joined us live, enjoy the show on Friday. Enjoy your Friday night. And we'll see you next time. Yeah. Love you. Bye. Sports Social Podcast Network.